I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. Danny Pudi seems to be having the time of his life working on NBC's Community. And why not? This season he's battled zombies, played Jesus, manned a space mission, and even helped give birth. In the upcoming episode, Abed's Uncontrollable Christmas, he and the rest of the cast become stop-motion animated characters in yet another episode of inspired wackiness. I talked to Danny in a conference call where he talked about working with the cast and how a stop-motion character is better looking than he is.
Did you, as a kid, really, did you see Chevy in Christmas Vacation in a...
I saw it later on VHS. Yeah. The only way to see Chevy Chase. No.
So what's that like when here's the guy who's made a big impression on you previously and you're suddenly walking a room and you're working with him?
You know, it's very bizarre. I mean, this whole experience is bizarre where, you know, you're doing all this kind of stuff. One day you're working with Chevy Chase and the next day you're going to visit a claymation studio where they have a doll of you. None of this really makes sense in this world, but that's the really fun and beautiful thing about this job that I love, is that every day is so different and unique. And once they presented the script to us about this episode and said that we were going to be in stop motion, we were all so excited. But for me, literally, there are so many dreams coming true that sometimes it's really hard to put into perspective until summertime when we're on hiatus. And then after a month of being away from people, I'm like, holy crap, I just spent a year working with Chevy Chase. So, to me, it's just very fun, interesting, always, always interesting, and I love that.
You probably grew up watching animated Grinch and animated Charlie Brown. What's it like the first time you see animated you? I mean, what's that like?
It's very bizarre, because you're looking at a version of yourself, and in my case, it's definitely an enhanced and better-looking version. I'm very excited. The eyebrows are fuller. The forehead is smaller. What else? I think I'm more handsome. I got nicer jawline. I probably have the same size legs, which I don't know if that's a good thing, as my doll is in real life. That's true to life. But it's very weird. It's very bizarre. But it's just really fun. You know, I saw the first time I met one of the animators, and there was, I think, 8 different animators working on 10 different stages there. And I met one of the ladies who was making the doll, and she saw me, and she was like, hey, I recognize, actually, I saw her away from set. I saw her actually at a random bar, I believe, or someplace in Los Angeles. And she's like, I recognize you because I've been working on your doll. And she came up to me, and I was like, that's definitely another first. There's a lot of firsts I've been experiencing, and that's the first time someone's recognized me from a doll they've made of me. So I'm very thankful and very excited about all this.
Is there a lot of Abed in you and a lot of you in Abed, or when you go to work, is it like you're putting on a costume?
Yeah, there's definitely a little bit of putting on a costume when I go in, except in my case, it's getting into skinny jeans. And definitely after Thanksgiving break, when I came back this week, it was a little harder to get into them. But I think there is also, you know, there is sort of a convergence of both Abed and Danny, you know, as over the course of time, you know, working with the writers, there are aspects of me that they've worked into the script, you know. I don't think Abed was half Polish until I got the role, you know, and so there are things like that. And, you know, I think Abed definitely has a larger encyclopedic knowledge of pop culture. I think he's probably more observant and aware of what's going on constantly. He's sort of a detective. You know, there's definitely aspects of Abed that I wish I had. I wish sometimes I was as sharp and I could notice as much as he does. You know, I think in my life I'm probably a little bit more aloof. But there's sort of me is coming into the character, but at the end of the day, I think Abed is definitely his own unique person.
Okay, and the TV references that are often spilling out of the character's mouth, do you find yourself getting most of them, or do you have to research a lot of them and find out what you're talking about?
Definitely a lot of research. I think that's Abed's unique talent. You know, he is an encyclopedia, and you know, every script I get, I'm constantly looking and talking to people, being like, don't know this one, Googling. My Netflix queue is always full of community research, movies like Meatballs and, you know, whatever it may be, Farscape for this week's episode. You know, Abed definitely has the encyclopedia knowledge, although I am a big fan of 80s movies and stuff, so there is certainly a good crossover, like Indiana Jones is my favorite movie of all time. So when it came to talking about that and wearing Indy's whip in an episode, that was very natural for me.
You guys look like you're sweating blood to kind of carve out a niche on Thursdays. Then CBS moves Big Bang up against you. Fox is about to move Idol up against you. Is there
Wait a minute, what? Did you just say Idol's going against us?
Yeah.
And Big Bang is against us, too?
Yeah.
Christopher, do we even have a chance?
Is there a sense of, like, what's next? Like, what else could they possibly do to us?
There is, and it's almost comedic in terms of, like, it's become sort of comedic for us because we're just like, oh, what's next? You know, what is next? You know, pretty soon it's going to be, we're going to be running just in local outlets. You know, it's not going to be national anymore, or it's going to be only airing on Hulu, or who knows? And for us, we're just really thankful, and I think that they found such a. I think with Dan and the writers, they're just so ambitious and full of, like, really let's like really cherish this opportunity to do something really interesting, and it's kind of fun too for us because there isn't as much pressure, I feel like, for us in terms of, like, you know, Big Bang and Idol are very numbers, you know, oriented and driven shows, you know, and, you know, they both do great. You know, I don't think we have a chance of ever beating them. And so for us, I think many, you know, the writers and stuff are really focusing on making a really fun, smart, interesting show and just seeing what we can do next, exploring where we can go further. So I think that's kind of the fun of it. And who knows? There's all that other stuff we can't really control, and I don't know about any of that kind of stuff because this is all, like I said, this is pretty new to me in terms of, like, you know, ratings and that kind of stuff. I never even thought I would be actually worrying about that. The fact that I'm on a show itself is kind of a wonderful thing. But yeah, who knows what's next? That's why I think we're just happy we're getting the stop motion episode done.
But it seems like the underdog role kind of suits you guys.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that, you know, in a lot of creative things, a lot of, you know, great creative things come out of times where there's a little bit of a struggle, you know, and I think for us being sort of that underdog is I really don't mind it. And I think some of the people here, I think if you asked me, probably would actually say that we kind of enjoy it because, you know, like I said, there is a little bit of room for, like, hey, we can try stuff here. You know, we have a little bit of room for experimentation, which I always think is a fun thing, especially with comedy and especially with our show, which can go in a lot of different places. You know, it all starts very grounded and very real, but the fact that we've already gone out of space this year, we had a zombie episode, we had a bottle episode, we're actually going into stop motion, and we're only halfway through season two, really excites me and terrifies me at the same time, because I don't know what's next, but I think that's kind of the fun thing about this show.
This claymation thing is just another example of sort of the non-traditional sitcom-y type things you're getting to do, like with that episode where Ovid was in the background the whole time, you know, delivering the bait and everything. There's another example.
Yeah.
Are you constantly surprised? You know, what's been your reaction to these things? And
I love it. For me, it's my and my mentality and how I work. I love kind of the spontaneity, not really knowing what's going to happen next. I guess that quality, the same quality that didn't make me the best office employee, probably suits me for this job because I like not knowing what's going to happen next. And I think all of us here get so excited to see what's in the next script. I mean, when we get to a table read, we're all like flipping through eagerly, and it's the quietest you'll ever see our cast at one table because everyone is reading the script. So, just getting into it, you know. And I think that's a testament to the writers because they're really always, really always surprising us, but always, trying to find, you know, new things to characters and growing. And also, like, I just love the fact that our show, as bizarre and as absurd as it can go, really there's a lot of good lessons being learned constantly. Characters are growing and learning from mistakes. And there's always, you know, we get to do a lot of different things, you know, which is for a regular comedy that's only 22 minutes. I always think about that. To be able to go to the places we've gone in a 22-minute comedy with an ensemble that includes Chevy Chase, Joe McHale, Donald Glover, Ken Jeong, you know, Alison Brie, I mean, everybody. It's like, with all those people and giving us all, you know, a little piece of that pie, it's really exciting. So To me, I love it. And like I said, this year has been really interesting, too. Like, the whole episode where I was in the background delivering the baby, and now we're doing this. The attention to detail with this show is also awesome. Like, just Ludwig, who's doing the composition and the scoring for our show. I mean, he's doing stuff with the full orchestra just for this Christmas episode. The music's incredible, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's that, and then there's, the props and the sets. I think if you look around, everyone, like, really cares. And I think that probably goes back to a little bit of, like, you know, the other question about us, worried about having competition like Big Bang and Idol against us. You know, I think there's a little bit of that, like, we never know when this is going to end. And I think because of that, it's sort of like, let's work really hard and see what we can create.
When you first got the script, what were your thoughts, like, knowing that it was mainly about you?
I guess I was a little nervous because just kind of wanted to know what's this about and how to take it. And this was sort of an interesting and a different approach to a script because, you know, we're not really acting as a group in this one. We were going into a recording studio with, the director and the writers and doing all this stuff in a voiceover booth, you know. So it's a little different because, you know, I'm not a voiceover actor. I've never really done any voiceover work. So trying to convey some of that, some of the feelings and stuff was definitely a little bit more challenging for me. And I was definitely nervous about that, just making sure that would happen. Because then what they did is take our voiceovers looping, and then they animate the characters based on that. So that was a whole new experience and really fun for me, too, though, because, again, it was a new thing for us to do. But then regarding the script itself, I just think it's perfect. There's so much beautiful stuff in there, and I think it makes complete sense that this is sort of in coming out of Abed's point of view, because the claymation characters, I think the great thing about the writers and what they've been able to do is make it all come from a real honest place. I think coming from Abed, it sort of makes it natural. Like, of course, he watches Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer every year. This makes sense that why not? Why can't his perspective be in this episode, all stop motion? That's his, you know, Christmas. And so I thought that was really smart of them. But yeah, I was also terrified because I was like, oh boy, there's a lot of work that I've never done before.
When you were reading it, did you picture it the way that it turned out? Like, does it look the way that you thought it would look?
You know, it's funny, we haven't seen the full episode yet, so I've seen bits of it, like a couple of short clips of it, and we've seen our dolls. You got to go to the studio and check those out, and it's way more incredible than I thought it would ever be, like I said, there was, I think, 8 different animators working right now. They've been working on it for over 6 weeks, and while we were there, we got to see one of the animators, Sarah, working on the tag, which is also going to be in Claymation. And she spent 3 days working on a 30-second tag. In my head, I was just like, wow. Okay, again, some of the people in there, it was quiet. They were behind a dark curtain. They were working alone. Their hands were still. All the qualities that I don't have, I was admiring them for being patient and stuff. But the work that goes into it is really tremendous, and it paid off. When we were watching it, we were looking at the colors. It's really beautiful looking, and it really captures the spirit of Christmas and some of those things that you see when you were a kid, like Nightmare Before Christmas and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. There is that. And I think they did a great job, just an amazing job. And like I said before, with the music, too, adding that layer on top of this, it just feels like a really fun, special episode. And I'm really proud to be involved in it. But I'm also excited because I haven't seen the full thing yet, so it's going to be a surprise for all of us.
What are you looking forward to after the Christmas episode for the next half of the season?
A lot of things. I mean, we just did an episode where we get to put on the drug play, so I'm excited about that.
An anti-drug play.
Anti-drug play, sorry. Let's be clear about that. Yeah, I mean, like I said before, every script I get, I'm just really, really excited to see what's next and where we're going. I get to be... I really am, in many ways, I feel like I'm turning back into a 5 to 10-year-old and reliving all my fun childhood things. And the fact that I get to do that as an adult with a bank account makes me really excited, and my mom can't be mad at me, because this is my job. But like, you know, you, when you get to play in a blanket fort, then do an anti-drug play at a school, and then you get to, you know, be a stop-motion character and play with a doll. Again, these are things that as an adult male who's married, you know, probably wouldn't be able to get away with, or at least you'd be monitoring. You'd be monitoring his behavior. Some kind of law force would be. But I get to do all that. And, I don't know, I'm pretty excited, so.
Thanks, Danny, and thank you guys for listening. This site takes a lot of work, so I really appreciate it when you guys support our advertisers. Keep coming back to dailyactor.com for more great interviews, columns, and resources. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.